Welcome to 8 from the 8, the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis's Community Development Podcast Series. I'm Drew Pack with the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis's Little Rock Branch. As many of us know, small businesses are very important to the job growth and economic vitality of our communities. Small business owners are often local leaders and provide economic opportunity. In community and economic development, we continue to work in various ways to help create environments where entrepreneurs and small businesses can thrive. Today I'm speaking with Bradford Caldwell, whose family owns East Arkansas Broadcasters based out of the Arkansas Delta. Bradford is a third-generation radio broadcaster and is involved with community leadership and also running a small business. He participates in many programs such as the Delta Regional Authority's Delta Leadership Network, the Arkansas and National Broadcasters Associations, Jonesboro's Young Professionals, and the SBA's Emerging Leadership Initiative. And today we will be talking about his involvement with the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program. Thank you for joining us today, Bradford.
Thank you for having me, Drew.
And first up, I just want to talk about, East Arkansas Broadcasters is based out of the Arkansas Delta, as I said. And I know you're involved in the Delta through many different leadership networks and programs. Can you start off by giving us more background on some of your involvement in East Arkansas Broadcasters' involvement in communities in the Arkansas Delta?
Sure. East Arkansas Broadcasters is our family business radio stations. We have 25 radio stations over 5 locations, primarily in eastern Arkansas in the Delta region, and also in the Arkansas River Valley area near Russellville and Morrilton, Arkansas. We actually started back in 1956 by my grandfather, and my father's been involved in the business for over 40 years, and I joined the company about 8 years ago. We have a variety of radio station formats, country, oldies, top 40, news talk, among all of our locations. We also have a sports network with both Arkansas State University and Arkansas Tech University in Jonesboro and Russellville. And also, we have an ag network. Since we're in the Delta region, a lot of the land here in eastern Arkansas is farming territory. So we provide a lot of commodity prices and farm news about 5 times a day to our radio stations. But we're also looking to expand with other radio groups, not just in Arkansas, but in the Midwest and in the South, primarily in agricultural regions. And we really pride ourselves on promoting many local events and fundraisers throughout the communities we're in. A lot of our listeners are very involved in their communities, and so we're always eager to help them out, whether it's a local cancer run or fundraiser for the Heart Association. We really want to encourage those people to come on our shows. We do a lot of morning local talk shows on kind of what's going on in the communities. So we take a lot of great pride in what we do as radio stations, not just providing great entertainment for our listeners in the music, but also local news and sports and weather information. And I did get involved in the Delta Regional Authority's Delta Leadership Network back in 2009. The DRA's Delta Leadership Network program is a yearly program that where people from 8 different states, about 40 or 50 participants come in, and from a variety of backgrounds. Some of us in the private sector with businesses, a lot of economic developers, a lot of elected officials get together and talk about ways to help the Delta region in our 8 state region. So it's been a lot of fun to get to know a lot of people from not just in Arkansas but around these 8 states.
Yeah, and you talked about running a business, and I think, it's kind of interesting that a lot of people, I think, would think of your business as being something that would be headquartered in a larger city, but can you just talk about what it's like to run a business in a more rural area, and what are some of the reasons you all have maintained that rural presence in Arkansas?
Right. Like I said, we started in 1956 with one radio station here in Wynn, Arkansas. Wynn's a town of about 9,000 people, and we were the only radio station and have been since that time. And we really pride ourselves in focusing on smaller markets. In larger cities and medium-sized cities, there's a lot more competition, not just with other radio stations, but television, digital, news, daily newspapers. So while that's tempting to be in a larger market, we really feel like our competitive advantage is in the smaller markets because we do a lot of local news, you know, things like city council meetings or these events that I talked about earlier about local fundraisers, but also local weather, local sports. Also, we are really focused on when bad weather comes, if it's tornadoes or flooding, you know, we're really seen as first informers, what we call ourselves, because in a lot of cases, if there's a tornado coming through or bad weather and cell phone coverage goes down, we take pride in that radio is still on the air. We have many generators at our location so that we will stay on the air no matter what, even if the power goes off. So, and also I think in these smaller markets, people appreciate seeing us in the communities. We're not just someone on air or just a radio group in a large city that, you know, we're going out to the local grocery store. They see us in the local banks from time to time. And so it's always nice to see a name to a face. So we really feel like focusing on the smaller markets for us works very well because we've kind of established this system over, you know, 50 years plus over time, and it's worked well for us.
Bradford, I know that you participated in the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program this past year. So how did you first hear about the program and get involved in it? And then what types of businesses were in the program, and what all did that program entail?
Yeah, the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program was a wonderful program. I actually heard about it through receiving a postcard in the mail from another business organization here at our radio station. After getting this postcard, I went to the website that was mentioned on the postcard, and the website address is the number 10ksbapply.com. So it stands for 10,000smallbusinessapply.com. So 10ksbapply.com. And that provided information about the actual program. So the program is designed for small business owners that have at least 4 employees in their organization, $150,000 or more in revenue each year, and that have been in business for at least 2 years or more. And there were a variety of businesses involved. And the application process was I had to submit a 2-page kind of initial application talking about myself and our business. And then also if I proceeded in that application process, we had to submit financial information about our businesses and actually did a Skype interview with the program staff at Babson College up at near Boston. And so after being accepted in the program, we had about 90 people in our what we call cohort, and then they broke down the 90 of us into 3 groups of about 30. And then so once we started the program, we actually, it's a hybrid online in-person program. So with the group of 30 in our group, we did weekly webinars or web calls through WebEx, and we got to actually see each other and talk about different topics, so things like finance, sales and marketing, human resources, operations. So we kind of touched on a different topic each week and got to ask questions of our main facilitator, who was our facilitator both for the online meetings, but also I had 2 in-person meetings at Babson College up near Boston, about halfway in the program, and the other in-person session near the end, right before graduation. So far, their goal is to train 10,000 small business owners, and they have trained about 4,000, both through the national program at Babson College, but they also have established about 12 programs at various community colleges around the country, mainly in larger cities like Houston, Denver, and Salt Lake City. So in terms of the types of businesses, there's a variety of businesses. Among the 30 in my group, we had a smaller growth, what we call a growth group of about 6 people. And in that group, I had a staffing service, a commercial cleaning business, a home renovation business, especially for medical needs. So maybe an older person needs restructuring of their house or walls or whatnot. And also a heavy equipment machine rental business out in Colorado. So we got to keep in touch with each other and additional meetings both through the phone and in person. And we actually had a mini reunion earlier this year after we finished the program to kind of keep in touch. And so we still keep in touch with each other on a periodic basis now just to see how we're all doing and exchange kind of questions. You know, it's kind of nice to have those other small businesses that we can reach out to.
Yeah, and continuing to talk about the Goldman Sachs program, Bradford, what were some of the most important lessons you learned from being in the program? And what does being a part of this network of small businesses mean for you all going forward?
There are a lot of great lessons through this program, not just within the program itself, but also with the networking opportunities with not just the other participants, but the periodic speakers that they would bring in, especially in the in-person sessions. We would have a couple of attorneys talk about things like employment law, or other business owners talk about kind of how they started their business. But this program really taught a lot about how it's important to really review your organization on a periodic basis, whether that's daily, weekly, monthly, whatever. But not just financially, but also how are you doing your operations? Also, are you, you know, manning your business? Do you have the right staffing level? So looking at HR issues. How are your sales figures going? You know, you look at doing more marketing. Because for a lot of small business owners, it's easy to get caught in the day-to-day of managing your business and operating when busy times happen. So it's easy to get to lose sight of reviewing kind of how you're doing and having good partnerships with whether it's an attorney or an accountant or a CPA or other kind of professional services that you may be able to use. For us, on going forward, it's been a great networking opportunity because a lot of the times when you are in the day-to-day of running your business, it's hard to kind of gauge, okay, am I doing the right thing? And it's nice to have other small business owners that you feel like you can talk to and reach out to and say, hey, I'm going through this. Have you dealt with this? Or how have you handled this situation before? So it's nice to know that there are other small business owners that are kind of going through the same questions and issues, that it's nice to be able to reach out to them and see, to kind of gauge and see if we're on the right track.
Yeah, and I also want to talk more directly about small business lending. It's an issue that comes up a lot in economic development. And so I know part of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program helped talk about capital and lending for small businesses. So how, being part of the small business program with Goldman Sachs, how has that improved your business from a capital standpoint?
What I think the 10,000 Small Business Programs from Goldman Sachs really did was to really emphasize that we need to do a lot of financial statement analysis and review. Like I said, typically if you're kind of working the data, that it's easy to get kind of off track and not focus on it, but if you don't focus on it, it can be really detrimental because when you get to a point where you may need some small business financing, that's something that a financial institution's going to be able to not just want your financial statements, but also to be able to answer questions. So the program really taught us in many respects on what those questions might be. So they actually had, during one of our in-person sessions up near Boston, had some bankers come in and say, here are the things that, you know, our bank looks at, you know, when we're reviewing a small business, their financials. So it's not just about the financials, it's the whole picture. So it's looking at management and experience, how you're running your business, where your business is at, looking at the markets that it may be in, to whether if it's growing or shrinking. So really not just focusing on the financial review, but also learning about what kind of needs there might be. So if you're looking at purchasing equipment, looking at a long-term loan, and the program kind of teaches you kind of what you need to do and to prepare yourself for that. Or especially with smaller businesses and startups, they need short-term lines of credit for working capital. So talking about what things a business might need to get that line of credit and establish that credit for their business so that over time that they can keep that good credit going, and they may be able to grow their business by using maybe a longer-term loan. And also taught that with these bankers that came in, what they're looking for in a loan application. So, like I said, a lot of these businesses have to provide financial statements, but what other aspects of your business will help that application? And it also taught us that some banks only really lend or are focused on certain areas. They're obviously open to all applications, but in some cases they may not do as much lending in one sector or one area, but it's just something to where it's nice to be able to know that from a banker's perspective, and so you can reach out to other financial institutions out there.
Yeah, and I know also that there's an SBA program that you've recently got involved here in Arkansas. What SBA program are you involved in, and how has this been helpful to your business also?
Sure. The Small Business Administration, about a couple years ago, started a program through an organization called InterRise. I think their website is interrise.org, interrise.org. They have a number of programs, but this is called the SBA Emerging Leaders Program. And currently, they're in about 40-plus cities around the U.S., and this was the first year that it was in Little Rock. So back in the early part of 2015, they had put out some news stories about it. So I was interested and I actually contacted one of the SBA employees who was responsible for the program here in Arkansas and was accepted. And so the program was very similar to the 10,000 Small Business Program with Goldman Sachs, but on a state level. So it was nice to be able to get to know other business owners here in Arkansas. So there were about 14 of us that did the program. We started back in April of 2015, and graduation is actually next week here in November of 2015. So it's about a 6 or 7 month program. And typically what we would do is we would meet in person in Little Rock every other Thursday at night from about 5:30 until 8:30. So that allowed, the business owners to kind of work during the day, but to do the class at night. There was homework in between the class sessions, as well as what we called our CEO groups. So it's about a group of about five of us. So there were about three groups of four or five, and we would talk very similar to the 10,000 Small Business Program on kind of what the issues that we're facing as a small business, kind of bouncing off ideas and questions off of each other. So we usually did those in between the in-person sessions. And for the 14 of us in the program, there are, as well as the 10,000 Small Business Program, a variety of businesses. So you had another commercial cleaning business. You had a records management business. There was another staffing service business. And these represented all areas of the state, not just Central Arkansas, but some from Northwest Arkansas, some of us here in East Arkansas. And in addition to the meeting, in-person meetings, we also had the instructor actually come to our businesses to kind of see our operations and ask questions and talk, get his, one-on-one insight. So he actually came up to our radio stations up in Jonesboro to tour the facility and meet some of our employees. So it was a really good program that I encourage other small business owners to take advantage of, both the SBA Emerging Leaders Program, but also the 10,000 Small Business Program through the national program.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, Bradford. It's all very, really interesting. And I'm going to shift gears a little bit here and just to ask you, from a small business perspective, what are some of the most important ways the public sector can be more effective in working to help small businesses and entrepreneurs like yourself?
I think there are several ways that the public sector can help small business and entrepreneurs. I think the biggest thing right now is that the public sector can help educate both current business owners and entrepreneurs on just really how to run a business and the financing opportunities that may be out there with both traditional financing and also with community development financial institutions out there. I think resources from organizations like the Federal Reserve, small business development centers around the state, the SBA, obviously, and Chambers of Commerce are great ways that I think resources that can help these small businesses, because a lot of the times people have a good idea, they want to, you know, see how it works, but they may not know how to really, the nuts and bolts of how to run a business. So I think finding ways to educate these business owners, whether it's through, you know, schools or colleges and universities. I think also mentoring programs are really good. I know the SBA has a SCORE program where it connects previous business owners who maybe have been retired to kind of mentor small businesses and to help grow their businesses. So I think there's a great amount of resources out there that the public sector can do to help these small businesses not just grow their business, but also learn about the financing options that are out there for them and just kind of walk them, you know, step by step.
Yeah, and kind of continuing a little bit of that conversation, what can communities in the Delta and other rural regions, when you think about those areas, do to better support small business growth and development in their rural areas?
I think the biggest, I guess, opportunity for communities in the Delta to, you know, help their small businesses grow and develop is really focusing on small companies and startups. I know that, you know, ideally these small communities in the Delta would love a large factory or a large company to come in. And while that's still an option, I think the short-term wins that these communities could have is to really help these small companies, whether it's 5, you know, 10, 20, or 50 employees, to grow those and build those up. So it's helping them learn about the financing options out there, connecting them with schools, with potential employees as well, and also whether it's all, you know, maybe helping these schools develop entrepreneurship classes or more business classes to teach entrepreneurship, and because I think that's really sparking interest because of technology out there, that it doesn't have to be in a large city, that, you know, especially kids or young adults that, you know, maybe have a really good idea and having access to, you know, broadband and having access to these type of classes will definitely help. And I think focusing on certain areas with these communities, things like tourism. A lot of communities in the Delta have a lot of great natural resources and a lot of natural beauty that a lot of people like to, you know, tour. So I think that's one area that these communities could really focus on. Obviously, healthcare is an important aspect, and, you know, trying to ensure that people in these communities remain healthy. So in a lot of these communities, too, you know, may have limited healthcare facilities, or they may have, you know, a hospital, and they want to ensure that they keep those facilities there instead of, you know, their residents having to go a long way away for medical care. So I think those type of areas would be ideal in terms of help looking at where people could focus on, you know, building those type of businesses.
It's really been great, and I've enjoyed talking with you today, Bradford. So thank you for talking with me about your experience as a business owner and community leader today. And I've been speaking with Bradford Caldwell, who's with East Arkansas Broadcasters. For more information about 8 from the 8th, the St. Louis Fed's Community Development Podcast Series, please visit stlouisfed.org/community-development. And be sure to tune in again for more great interviews, and thanks for listening.